When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rule the Roost podcast. I'm not going to lie, and I don't know about you, Phil, but I didn't actually realise Spurs were playing tomorrow. I didn't know we were playing so soon. Did you?
Only just before the Luton game, I clocked it, actually. Came as a bit of a surprise. It's all a bit messed up at the moment, isn't it? Aren't we playing like 6 p.m. on Sunday next week, which is... felt like a mistake on the schedule, but we just go again.
That's
that
Forest.
We?
That's the controversial Forest game, isn't it? The one that's gotten brought. It was wasn't it pushed to a Monday, brought back to a Sunday, pushed back.
Oh
to,
yeah,
I
yeah.
Don't know.
That might be why. Yeah.
So there's all that nonsense, but yeah, West Ham tomorrow. Before we delve into that one too much, any reflections on the Luton game, mate? Because I thought that was a really tough watch. And I know I always bang on about on here about there's no easy games in the Premier League, but I would have liked to have thought Spurs could have dispatched Luton a bit more comfortably than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I said on the Thursday pod that it would be nice to kind of get a bit of a sort of a statement win, right? I mean, that's always the case, don't get me wrong. And yeah, as much as the kind of adage is there's no easy games in the Premier League, they don't get much easier than Luton at home in terms of your ability to try and score a bucket load of goals, right? So, yeah, I was a bit kind of disappointed. I don't think we were that bad. Again, I think we were just quite sort of passive, certainly in the first half, right? Mm. I didn't feel like, even though we were a goal down, I didn't feel like we were actually kind of ever likely to lose the game. So,
I did worry. I'm not going to lie. I worried before we got our second one, I was suddenly like, Luton apparently scored loads of goals in the last 10 minutes. I'm a bit worried here now.
I think everyone just kind of took it for granted a bit, me included. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, but yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone really did anything wrong. It wasn't a sort of an abject performance, was it? Say against Fulham, where it just nothing seemed to be working. We were just quite sort of slow and, as I say, passive. So, yeah, I mean, Ange touched on it in his press conference, didn't he, just now about, or he was asked about it anyway, about how maybe it's to do with the fact that we don't have that many games and it's just hard for us to get into a bit of a rhythm. I think there might be something in that, to be honest.
Yeah, there probably is. It feels like a little bit of a cop-out, do you know what I mean? Just a little bit, but... there is probably something in that, in so much as, you know, it's a team that's trying to learn this new manager style. We do keep adding new players all the time into the mix. So that is going to continue to change things. And I think part of the issue, but if call it an issue, makes it sound quite charged, doesn't it? Make it sound a bit more dramatic than I probably want it to. But part of maybe the... let's just say issue. The issues that we're kind of trying to get to the bottom of at the moment. I wonder if it's partly because we still don't... I mean, could you honestly say, hand on heart, you know what our best team is yet?
No. I was kind of hoping that that's because it's a bit of horses for courses sort of thing, but I don't know. I mean, our central midfield is still sort of up for grabs, isn't it? Bar Sarr, in my opinion. I think the rest of them haven't really kind of showered themselves in glory for various reasons. So, yeah, I mean, I think Ange, you know, he kind of let slip a few weeks or a few months ago about wanting to sort of play Bissouma and Bentancur together. So I think that in his mind is where that gives him, you know, if both those players are on top form, then that gives him the kind of everything he needs from those two positions. But yeah, I mean, none of them are really kind of making that position theirs, are they, apart from Sarr?
No. I got a bit of pushback because I sort of said in the post-match pod that I actually thought it wasn't so much about Spurs not doing so well, and that Luton were pretty good, and I thought they played pretty good football. And the pushback was mainly they were awful. All they tried to do was time waste, and we should have won by 4 or 5 goals, and we had the opportunities to do so. And I will at times take on board what people are saying, but I do think that
not this feels time.
Harsh to Luton, right? I thought they were all right.
Yeah, yeah. If you compare them to like Sheffield United when we played them, they were awful when we played them, you know, in a similar sort of game where we scored in the last minute to win it. We were all over them in that game and they were awful. You know, they couldn't string any passes together. They were time wasting. I didn't get the sense that that was the kind of case with Luton. I think they defended well. I think that's, you know, you can say they sort of played well. Again, they didn't sort of really threaten us on the break that much, but I don't think that they were particularly bad, you know, compared to using the Sheffield United game as an example. Yeah, I didn't come away from that thinking Luton is shit, we should be pulling them to pieces sort of thing. I just felt like, yeah, we should be better than them and we should be beating them comfortably. But I didn't come away with that thinking that they were particularly bad. And, you know, I don't want to give them too much credit because I kind of, we're all said and done. Spurs should be beating a team like that at home on the 3 p.m. on a Saturday when it's sunny, all that sort of thing that plays into it. You know, they're not the worst team I've ever seen in the Premier League. Put it that way, they just ship loads of goals and they just can't win a game. Yeah, push back, fine. You know, that's other people's opinions, but I didn't come out of that thinking that they were particularly awful and that we just weren't capitalising it. I think that we were just sort of, as I say, passive in it.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we sort of have gone back to, and I get why people throw back to this is kind of like it was under Conte, and I don't fully agree with that. Where I obviously, because I think we do play more proactively, I think we play better football than we ever did under Conte. I know people sort of take the piss out of this stuff, but the vibes are, you know, just much better now. They are, and you can clearly see that they are. I guess the only sort of place where I would concede any parallels, if we have to draw them, is that I do feel a little bit at the moment like we're winning games purely on the basis that we have better players than the other team, as opposed to we're playing much better than them. If that makes sense, do you get what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, I know what you mean, and that I suppose shows that whether or not Ange's you know, much vaunted system is actually kind of all it's cracked up to be, let's say. And it's just about the fact that we've got Heung-min Song who can score, you know, with either foot and is really dangerous in every position. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll just start getting to grips with it. I mean, I don't buy that we're just the same as we were under Conte. We weren't completely, and that's missing a huge part of football that is, you know, about mentality, which I think is the thing that Ange has shown that the thing that Spurs have needed to change for the last 20, 30 years is the mentality. And that is, you know, we've had good players, but we just haven't had it up here to be able to kind of, you know, capitalize on having those good players. Even under Pochettino, we weren't, you know, we didn't have that mentality. We were lucky to be in the Champions League final and happy to be there rather than thinking, let's go and win it and then sort of, you know, celebrate the fact that we were there afterwards. So Ange is working on changing the mentality. And I think that everything that comes out of his mouth is about that. You know, even today in the press conference, someone was asking him about 8 points behind or the eight points ahead of Man United. Is he worried about them sort of overtaking us? And he made the point, it was like, well, we're also 8 points behind Man City, so shouldn't you be asking us that question? And as much as you can say, well, you know, being 8 points behind City, who are in third, is a different proposition to being 8 points ahead of someone chasing the Champions League spot because of the consistencies of that challenge. That he's just trying to make the point that Spurs need to kind of be thinking in a different way and be seen of as in a different way as well. So I don't buy the fact that it's just Conte in a slightly different approach. It's completely a different thing. Conte absolutely denigrated us at every turn, didn't he? He always,
because in that example there, he would have been saying it'll be a miracle if we finish ahead of Manchester United, a team with their resources, a team with that history. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the change. And you know, if you can't see that, then I don't think you're really paying attention to the actual football and actually what's going on.
Or you don't want
to. You're just reading a spreadsheet, or you're looking at you know, the comparatives between points at this point in the season to last season or whatever. It's as much as we're in a similar position in the league, I think we're worlds apart in terms of our belief and what we're trying to aim for.
Do you think part of that with Ange as well, because I think that's a really good example that you say now, and I love that type of stuff with him. That is one of the main things, if I'm brutally honest, that I think the football's good, like I do enjoy it, but I think the main thing I like about him is that refreshing approach to questions, the way in which he is, I mean, even more so than Pochettino, who I adored at the time. Pochettino could still default a bit back to, well, what are we supposed to do? Whereas, as you say, Postecoglou's whole thing is always, well, why are you asking us like about how we're going to fail, as opposed to all the stuff that we're going to do well? We're not just aiming for top four. Top four isn't just a trophy, so on and so forth. Like I say, it feels like he's changing the mentality at the club, but also, it does feel a little bit like, because we have heard about him being a, you know, for want of a better expression, a bit of a proper football man in some respects, bit back to basics, a bit kind of, you know, like a normal bloke, if you like, define normal, I know. But I find some of this stuff is about him unpicking certain media narratives, in so much as 8 points is 8 points either way. So why are you choosing to focus on the negative as opposed to the positive? This is you lot trying to fuck us over. This is you lot trying to pigeonhole us as this team that's going to fuck up and fail. And that to me is like really important as well. People actually challenging the media and this perception of us. Because we talk about, I've bellyached on here for, you know, years, and you know, I'm sure you have as well whenever you've been on here, about the fact that it will always be kind of, when are Spurs going to fuck up? As opposed to, Spurs are on this amazing run. They're playing really good football. They've got some exciting young players, as we always see. Look at Manchester United now, the way they're talking about Kobbie Mainoo. Like, he's a great player. He's a good young player. However, Hazard had a fraction, and I get that Mainoo's English as well, so there is a difference there. But Saar has had a fraction of what Mainoo has in terms of like interest. And Saar is a comprehensively better player right now, anyway, at least. I mean, some people might disagree with that, but I think he is. And you would, basically nobody outside of Tottenham has mentioned his name, I don't think, have they?
No. I mean, he might get passing mention when he does something particularly well during a game, but even then, he's just kind of a bit of a spectator in that sense, isn't he? It's the thing that holds us back, isn't it? It's our own kind of, it's both challenging the external narrative on what we are and what we can achieve, and whether you should or shouldn't be scared of us, which is, you know, something that does obviously play into how other teams might approach to play us. And it's, again, and on the other hand, it's how we see ourselves, and it's kind of changing that press conference by press conference, game by game, comment by comment, just to kind of get people to sort of start believing a bit. Because as we see a team like Liverpool just believe that they're going to win stuff, even if they're terrible and even if they've got no chance. And so even if that belief just means you're a few percentage more likely to actually achieve what you want to, then you've got to instill your club with that. So that's what he's doing. And I think he's doing it quite well. The fact that we're kind of, you know, and as much as I kind of take this, I don't really sort of believe this when they say, oh, if Spurs had been told that they'd be fighting for fourth place at the start of the season, they'll snap your hand off. Much like with Arsenal last season. Oh, if they told if they told Arsenal fans that they'd be challenging for the league, then that's great. The fact that they didn't, the fact they got top four is a successful season. That's not really how it works, you know. Predicting what happens at the start of the season is sort of irrelevant as once the ball start getting kicked. So, I'm of the position where I'm now like, I've seen what Ange can do, and I've seen what the potential for this club could be, and this group of players, more to the point. And I'm just a bit disappointed that we are where we are. And I don't think that's sort of being ridiculous. I think it's just, I think that's what, that's how we need to start feeling and thinking about this football club, that if we're going to achieve something, we need to believe that we're going to do it. Because again, I think I've said this like every time, like most times I've been on this pod and to you countless times, that it's our own belief. We need to sort that out. We need to start seeing ourselves as a team that can do this. All this talk about Spursy or whatever, it's just so self-defeating. And you know, it's funny, and you know, it protects yourself from being disappointed, but it's disappointing anyway, so you might as well just try and enjoy it and try and sort of hope for the best, right?
It feels like one of the, you know, because we're sort of coming to the end of the Jurgen Klopp era, and look, people can find him as insufferable as they want. I certainly do, especially when we play them, you know, he's whinging, he's whining, but I think it's not a perfect comparison because Liverpool are a historically massive club, biggest club in the country alongside Manchester United, really, always have been. But let's be real, for the majority of the Premier League era have been a pretty average side. Won the Champions League, they do have that European pedigree, so it feels a stretch to call them average. But as a Premier League force, they've been by the by, right? They've been all right. And it feels like Jurgen Klopp is a guy who has come in and just said, like, you guys are Liverpool. You have this huge stadium, huge fan base. You have history. Believe in yourselves. Believe in one another. Work hard for one another. And we can achieve great things. Whether they win the Premier League or not this season, I think they actually might, you know. I actually kind of think they might do it. Although their fixtures towards the end of the season are pretty grim. But still, surely that should be a bit of a... Because I kind of look at Ange as a bit of a Klopp kind of guy. Sort of always pigeonholed into being kind of a funny sort of foreign bloke who's kind of wacky with our media. But he's actually not. He's actually, you know, a bit of a knob. And I don't mean that in a bad way about Ange, but like... He doesn't suffer fools gladly. He's not there to have a laugh, you know? I also don't get the feeling, like, the way you see him even interact with our internal comms department, I don't think he really enjoys any of the talking about everything. And I don't think he's afraid to let people know when he's not particularly happy with something or the way they've kind of questioned it. I mean, that doesn't make him... do you know what I mean? It's just a casual parlance calling him a knob, if you like. And I don't think we've seen anything to the level that we've seen with Jurgen Klopp. Remains to be seen when Spurs are in the real kind of, like, if we're in the real sort of business end of a season next year, when we're in a title race towards the very end, and maybe, you know, we will see a nastier, prickly side to Ange. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see that come out of him, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, well, it's definitely there, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess in short, like, when we sort of reflect on Liverpool, them actually making that step up, because I would say now Spurs have had a comparable kind of, other than this, say, take out the Jurgen Klopp era, right? Spurs to this point now have had a comparable kind of Premier League life to what Liverpool have had, in so much as we've kind of flirted with success. We're pretty consistently finishing in the top four. We're a strong side. We kind of beat most teams on our day if we're up to it. And that's always what Liverpool kind of were, other than Liverpool, usually more times other than not. But Liverpool under Klopp, they did take that step up. And even in this Pep Guardiola era, even when it seemed almost impossible for anybody to be able to challenge Manchester City, Liverpool have done that pretty consistently. With Klopp going, I mean, there's some talk of Amorim coming in. I can't say I'm an expert on him. I just kind of get the feeling, based on very little really, that they are going to struggle for a little bit after Jurgen Klopp. I can't see this. I know he's a bit of a kind of stats lad darling, Amorim, but I can't see it being that smooth. I can't see some sort of like a Sporting Lisbon manager just coming in and Liverpool managing to maintain the intensity and keep the level that they have done under somebody like Jurgen Klopp for the past near decade now. It is about a decade, isn't it? I think he's been there.
Yeah, 8 years or something, isn't it? Something like that. It's felt like a long time anyway.
I think there's an opportunity there if we play our cards right, as it were, for Spurs to get in the mix and to really do something. Do you think we can, or do you think we're just miles off? Because I guess sort of my roundabout way on all this is, mate, is I guess we can talk about these like things thematically. Spurs should. There is the potential there that we can. But the reality, can we actually do it? Are we further off than we maybe think we are? Because when I look at games like this Luton game, and I look at really, other than the Villa game, our kind of last few months of football, and I find it really hard to kind of know actually how good or not we are. Because like you say, Ange said in his press conference today, he's not as concerned about where we finish in the league. It's more how we finish in the league. And I kind of get that, but that will piss people off. I think it would be wrong to be pissed off by that, because we've seen ourselves squeak over the line under managers before, finishing in European places, the top four, or in just in Europe. Think about Mourinho. Do you know what I mean? That thing when he celebrated on the last game of the season, all or nothing season, all that type of stuff when we got into the Conference League. And that's not that, you know, I kind of get Andrew's point. It's like, I don't just want to like play crap and just manage to like stumble over the line because we've got Sonny and Min up front that can score goals for us and James Maddison that can provide goals for him. I want to know that we actually look like a top four team, one that's playing with, you know, a bit of style, a bit of pizzazz, if you like. Are Spurs, like, where are we at, mate? Because I think, look, honestly, again, I default back to this kind of gun to my head if I'm asked how good do I think we are right now. I don't really think we're, compared to like what I've seen as in the past, I don't really feel like we are a top four team, right? I don't feel like we're as good as some of those other teams that have finished in the top four. I think right now we've got Chelsea who are woeful, Manchester United who are woeful. And so there's just this kind of fourth spot that nobody seems to want to take. Villa don't really want to grab it with two hands. Spurs don't really want to grab it with two hands. Newcastle have failed to keep up the consistency of last season. Brighton have sort of fallen off again a bit. It's all a bit all over the place. Do you know what I mean? And I think, and I see Ange's point in it, if we finish top four, I don't want us to think, well, that's it. Class, we finished top four. We're a Champions League team and all is rosy, because I'm not entirely convinced we're actually that good yet. But I don't want people to think that means I'm like completely killing us. I understand we're at the start of a project, of a new cycle, all that type of thing. And I just don't really know how far along we are yet in that.
I think we're at the start. I think you've touched on it there. I think we're at the start and our start has been really fragmented. I think that's kind of where we are. Are we playing a hell of a lot differently to when we were top of the league after 10 games? We were better then, but there were still points in those games where we could have and should have conceded goals. So it's evened out a little bit in that sense, you could look at it. But again, yeah, I think we're at the start. And I think that Ange's point about, you know, not making a top four isn't the sort of end of the world. And it's all about how we finish, not necessarily where we finish. That's great, because we've always been focused, if we finish top four, then we're getting the Champions League, then we're getting the money, then we'd be better. That doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. Going back to Klopp, the first thing he did at Liverpool was change the perception of Liverpool as to being this like bit of a joke, haven't won the Premier League in years, still banging on about how many they won then and haven't won any since. He came in and that was the first thing he changed. He made them sort of the club, you know, with different players or whatever, but reminded them that that's what they should be aiming for, and that's the pedigree that they should be. Now, that's where we are. That's what Ange is doing at the moment. He's being told they're naive to attack Man United in this way or set up against Man United this way. Then we beat them. Then he goes and mugs off Carragher and Neville afterwards in a sort of a jokey way, but in the proper like, you don't know what you're talking about. So I think that's where we are. It's kind of hard to have sort of a view on the future at the moment in that sense, because it's still sort of up in the air. But it's more likely that this is the start of something rather than just another sort of roll of the dice and it falls apart by October next season. Clip that, because we'll see.
Yeah.
That might come back to bite me. But Yeah, so I think we're at the start, and I think it is right to sort of draw parallels with Klopp's Liverpool, and to kind of see, because people forget that they were a bit of a joke in the league. Yeah, they'd sort of win cups, they'd have Steven Gerrard, and they'd have all that sort of "you'll never walk alone, this means more" sort of stuff. Mm. But that only got them so far, and he harnessed that, and that's what we need to do. I mean, we don't really have that same sort of mythical element that Liverpool seem to have just created that we can draw from, but that's what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying to build, that foundation, get people to think about Tottenham in a different way, both outside and inside.
It's fucking annoying though, because we should. We are such a romantic club, and we have had a lot of success kind of in the, you know, we have had our glory days. We've had European success. Mm. We were almost like too embarrassed to debase ourselves in the way that
it's just too Liverpool long ago, fans do without walking stuff. It's too long ago. What, like when did we win the Europa League or the UEFA Cup? What, 84 was it? Was that the last time we won it?
Yeah.
Ages ago, mate. It's like 40 years ago. Those eras have just, there's been eras in between now and then that have just come and gone with nothing happening here. So there is no sort of pedigree there at the moment. And so it's in many ways he's starting again. He's building. And I think that's probably what he's told the players. It's not been like, here, watch Tony Parks saving the penalty shootout in the UEFA Cup final and all that sort of thing. This is irrelevant. Start your own legacy. I think that's what he's trying to get into them, you know? Mm. That's going to take time. It might not even be sort of next season. It might not even come to fruition at all. But I think that's what he's saying. That's what he's trying to do. And, you know, he'll be here for 3 years and then do one. Haven't achieved nothing.
I mean, I can't help but worry about that a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Because just the way the Premier League is, it's now or never, isn't it, really, in some respects?
Yeah, but you could say that every season, can't you, really? There's always some foible to happen. It's this idea that the thing gets locked up. I'm a bit worried that this is actually City's sort of transition season and they're still potentially going to win the league. That's quite worrying. But yeah, I think you just have to kind of, again, it's build the foundation, right? Build the foundation, change the perception of the club and build on it.
Well, here's a more straightforward one for you, mate. What do you actually want from the club this season? Like, what do you actually want from them? Because tin pot as this sounds, really all I want for us is to beat Arsenal, or at least not lose to Arsenal this season, and hope that they don't win the league, obviously. But within our control, I want us to not lose to Arsenal.
Yeah, and we spoke about this yesterday, didn't we? So you've teed me up for this. But I think that in some ways, beating Arsenal and stopping them from winning the title, whenever it is, what is it, 13th of April or something, 16th of April, right in the mix of, right in the sort of start of the run, and if we properly put a dent in them and did it well, that's a massive statement for us. That's not just Spurs, you know, them dropping points to Southampton or something. That's us being like, we're not having you come and take 3 points and win, and, you know, potentially win the league again at our stadium. Not that they can necessarily win it at that stage, but you know what I mean. We're going to be the ones to say, stand up and say, no more, no more of this, no more of Arsenal. And that in many ways is way more enjoyable. In fact, it is way more enjoyable than, oh, we pip Villa to the fourth spot. Excellent. That means we've got the Champions League music next season. Yeah, fine. That might be better for our finances and all that sort of thing. But for our soul, beating Arsenal is the best thing that can happen by the end of this season. All right. If we lost like 8 out of the 9 games and dropped down to 8th or whatever, still might be a bit unhappy. But you'd look back on it as that was a day that we properly put the final nail in their coffin.
Why can't we just West Ham them? Thing. Do you know what I mean? West Ham do that to us. Think about all our title runs, the fucking Leicester year and all that, when they managed to just up their game because they just don't want to see us be successful. Can we just be that horrible, grubby, thorn in the side team just for once? Do you know what I mean? I really don't care about it being tin pot. I really couldn't care less. I don't want to see Arsenal win the league. I don't want to ever see it again in my lifetime, right? But especially not right now. And in a stupid sort of way, it's like I will almost, even I've seen them do it in my lifetime, how you were talking about there, that sort of legacies come and go and eras come and go. Even that Wenger era, even them last winning the title and all that type of stuff, the Invincibles, even that's a bit of a bygone era now. Do you know exactly. what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in that time since they won a couple of FA Cups, good luck to them. But they haven't been a serious team for close to two decades now. Nearly 20 years, they haven't been a proper serious outfit. And so there's this, just this bit of me that's like, I don't want to see them win the league again before we do. Like, and my, you know what, the thing about this is, I know that's a hide into nothing because my dad, I saw him yesterday, Easter Sunday, saw my folks, and just talking to my dad about Spurs and all that. And he was just like, you know, I cannot believe they've not won it since the 60s. I cannot believe I've, like, all this time I've followed this bloody team, I've never really seen them win anything big again, ever, you know, and not really ever been properly close. And I was like, yeah, but what about 16, 17 and all that? He's like, oh, come on. We were still, it was still always a, maybe we can do it. It was never, we're the best team in the country and we should win the league. He was like, how has it been that long? He was like, a team with our history and our pedigree to go as long as we have without ever really being kind of top dog is pretty startling. And I thought, oh, fucking hell. It's true, isn't it?
It is. But, it is. It's mind-boggling when you think of it like that, isn't it? You think we would have just done it by accident. What with all this, you know, this idea of like structure and stadium and Champions League football and FFP, all this sort of thing. You think that given how many seasons there's been, one of those, we might have just accidentally won the league.
As you've always shown me, mate, that I think I'm pretty sure it was you, wasn't it, that showed me the man who simmed 1,000 years of Football Manager. Spurs were in the league 3 times in that whole time.
Yeah. I've seen a few of these. And now whenever I sort of come across a video like that, I tend to watch it to skip through to see what happened. Spurs never anywhere near it. It's ridiculous. I know it's Football Manager or whatever, but still, it's just a bit of, we need to change the perception so that in futures, near future, that when children watch videos of people who've simmed 1,000 years of Football Manager, Spurs win it a few times. But no, yeah.
We usually end up winning the Champions League a few times, don't we? That's always a heart.
I think
one.
So. I think, yeah. It's been a while since I've sort of reminded myself of that because it was, I think it was when like one of them came out and one of the Football Managers came out and, you know, it was part of the promotion for it. And it was just like, well, haha, let's all laugh at Tottenham.
Yeah.
Which, standard, again, isn't it? Perception.
See, shit like that. Fuck off. Perception. Fuck off.
That's what Ange's changing. Ange's changing.
You don't have to do that to us.
Just leave us alone, man. It's bad enough as it is. Don't leave people laughing at us about it. We know.
Ange just had his press conference. Really, there's not a lot of notes said. On team news, this is ahead of the West Ham game, which is tomorrow. He said everyone's come through unscathed. I do wonder if Van de Ven will start now. What did you make of Dragosin, mate? Because I thought he seemed a bit whiffy, not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, playing on his wrong side, positioning, a bit funny.
Young,
did some good
getting run, used to the league. I know there are.
Not sort of writing him off, but I just think that as much as our system and the way that we play shouldn't hinge on whether we've got a certain centre-back playing, I do think we're much, much better with Van de Ven just because of the attributes he has. So, yeah, I expect him to play. I mean, he seemed like he would be fine for Saturday's game, but they just figure they give Dragosin a run out. That's what it seemed like. But I expect him to start. Why not?
On Timo Werner. In terms of his future, like most players, the decisions will be made at the appropriate time. I think he's been a great signing. He's been a really important part of our structure, and I think he can also improve. That feels a little bit lukewarm to me, just sort of reading between the lines. As I was saying on the post-match, my sort of opinion on him is changing a little bit. I like Werner. I like what he's brought to the team. However, is this everything? Is this all that we've seen from him? And if so, do we want him taking up a space in our team when we might be able to sign somebody? You know, we are making these data-led acquisitions. fuck all people have heard of Odoghi, Vicario, Sarr a couple of years ago. Do you know what I mean? Even Bywall, depends how good he is or not. But is Werner taking up the space of somebody that might be doing better, or is he still a good placeholder for now? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, for now, obviously, we can't change it at the moment anyway, so I'm sort of, yeah, fine. I'm still of the view that I haven't been sort of fully convinced that he's the best that we can get in that position. In fact, saying that out loud, absolutely not. I actually thought that Ange's quote on him wasn't lukewarm. I thought it meant it's likely that we're going to sign him, actually.
Do you think?
He is
that Ange type player, isn't he? You know, what we know about him is he's quick. He does have an engine on him. He seems to have bags of energy, doesn't seem to tire out. And his dribbling's amazing. He gets into great positions. It's just whenever he's in those positions, I just can't believe quite how bad his finishing is at times.
Yeah. My dad.
I actually feel for the guy on that level, because he could be one of the best players in Europe. He really could be. I honestly think he's got that much talent in pretty much most other facets of his game other than that. Just keep an eye on this, right? In this next game, just keep an eye on this, because I can't really tell if this is confirmation bias or not. But I didn't go into the game thinking this, and I sort of picked up on it last game. I sort of felt there were a few moments in the last game when certain players avoided playing a pass to Werner again.
There definitely was. I think I even mentioned it to you, actually, so you're just stealing my point, aren't
you? Am I stealing your point?
Yeah.
I'm just trying not to throw you under the bus for being like some Werner, like, get him out, purple and gold.
I'm driving that bus, mate. I'm driving that bus. There was a move where Son could have played him in, and it seemed like it was almost like Looney Tunes. He kind of like looked up and was like, no. Nah. Sort of went back inside. Same thing happened with Maddison. Let's be honest, can't sort of draw a hell of a lot from that. But I do think that he's not a sure thing in what he's going to do. I don't think he sort of, you know, and his chance where he did really well against Kabore when he cut in, then cut back out, skinned him. He missed it, didn't he?
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Recording got interrupted, so this might not be the cleanest break, and whatever, deal with it. Postecoglou said, until the end of the season, we want to finish... the season, well, this is what we were talking about earlier, right? He says, we want to finish the season strong and keep building on the foundation of being a team that hopefully in 12 months' time, people are looking at differently and talking about differently. To do that, it can't just be about where you finish and how many points you get. It's more than that. Obviously, if we finish strong, then we'll finish in a decent position and we'll see where that takes us. Basically, I think the point from that, as we were discussing earlier, is he's not too asked if we... finishing the top four or not, right? It's not his everything.
Yeah, I mean, when you're just saying it out loud, it's actually, it's unkind to say, but it's also a cop-out, isn't it? It's a cop-out in quite different ways. It's not saying we must achieve it, and if we don't, we can't be, you know, we can't possibly compete. He's like, it doesn't matter anyway. Cop-out. Yeah. Cop-out's AOTS.
Doesn't matter because I'm off in a couple of years anyway, so fuck it. He's asked whether Kulusevski can play on the left or needs to use his right to hit those balls across the six-yard box. I think they can do that. I mean, Timo isn't a... Timo isn't a left-footed player and he plays on the left-hand side. I think what's more important to us is that we continue to challenge our players to develop and try to improve them. Deki and all of those players have got a real appetite for it. Where they end up positionally, some of that will be dictated by where the team's at as well as what we need. I'm not particularly worried about Deki. I was saying in the post-match, I think he's just tired. He shouldered a lot of responsibility this year. There maybe is a larger question for me of how suitable he is for this system. I'm definitely not in a rush to get him out the door. I'll put it that way. How are you feeling?
No, same. I mean, I think that it's just, it's more to do with, you know, if you look at his numbers and you look at our numbers as a whole, I think that he's playing the role of softening up teams, right? Mm. And then if he comes off, you know, the Luton game is a good example. We switched it. We brought a player with pace on when Luton were tiring. So he's done his job in terms of, you know, running them ragged and keeping the ball off them. And then someone comes on to finish the job. I think it's more about that than him not being suited to it. I think he's a really good player and he can play, as Ange said, in a number of different positions. So, yeah, I don't think this is... We don't need to sort of build this crisis narrative about, you know, is he suited or anything? Not for me. He's totally fine. He's an important member of this squad and the way we play, I think.
He's really talented, isn't he? You know?
Yeah. And I think really that's... young as well. I mean, I know he doesn't look young. He looks about 32, doesn't he? Bless him. But he is still sort of learning his trade and he's still kind of... but I still think he performs really well. I don't... You know, I mean, you can point to Porro wasn't in the game at all until Johnson came on. But again, I think that you could put that down to us, that that's just how the way we play. As I said, you know, we wait, soften them up and then unleash the pace on them in the last half an hour to kind of win the game, which is, you know, what we do. Ange has often said about, you know, we're the fittest team. We'll keep going to the end. It's in those kind of closing stages where we're going to be on top. So, you know, if it was the other way around, then Johnson might look terrible, you know, when Johnson's looked really good coming off the bench. So I think it's more about that.
He's been really good, hasn't he? Like really, yeah. Suddenly really, really good, actually, which is good. You highlighted to me, though, mate, his post-game message that was just a picture of him looking not particularly happy, saying yes.
Yeah.
Was that a joke at his own expense? Or do you... I kind of read that as in, like, God, he hates us. But then when I I initially read it as that, but then when I was reflecting upon it, I was like, maybe he's just having a bit of a laugh about his own sort of sullen look in the photo.
Yeah, I think it's more that. I mean, I read that in Napoleon Dynamite's voice. So that's how I took it. Just that kind of thing. I just thought it was a sardonic, funny thing to say. I don't think there's any more to read into it than that.
Let's have a look. So we got West Ham coming up tomorrow, as I keep saying. Some of the team news: West Ham's Alphonse Areola is set to miss out because of the thigh problem that forced him off in Saturday's defeat by Newcastle. I mean, Fabianski seems to be a decent enough keeper still, but I saw those Newcastle highlights. It did suddenly look like he's a bit wobbly. I mean, the Arsenal fans used to call him Flappy Hansky, didn't they, as well? So hopefully that's the one that shows up against us. What a loss for them. Going 3-1 up against Newcastle and then getting done like that was quite funny, wasn't it? Edson Alvarez served the second game of a two-match ban, but defender Nath Aygird could return. No new injury concerns for Tottenham. Fraser Forster, Ryan Sessegnon and Manus Solomon all remain long-term absentees. Here's some head-to-head facts for you, mate. Tottenham have gone 3 matches without an away win at West Ham, their longest run since 6 winless matches between 95 and 2001. I'm actually quite surprised by that. I thought we'd I guess the last time I can really remember is the Mourinho, when Dele suddenly looked like a man possessed again for a match, didn't he? It was unbelievable. Mm.
Yeah. So if we did. So if we lost the last three meetings at the London Stadium.
I think it just says we haven't won. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it feels like it's come up at a really tricky time in the last few seasons, isn't it? I mean, I'm basing that on nothing, not even my memory. But yeah, I mean, them having a really disappointing result against Newcastle. It's one of those where you can make a case for it being a good thing for us to face them at this stage, because they're, you know, down and they'll have little confidence, or it's they've got a point to prove, and of course they're going to want to prove a point against Tottenham, aren't they? But yeah, a bit of a tough one to call, I think, from my point of view. What do you think?
Our first ever game against West Ham United, 1898, in the Thames and Medway League, we beat them 3-0. Good job.
Some of that.
That's all right, isn't it? I was just looking at our last year, so let's have a look. West Ham United versus Tottenham Hotspur. So the last time we played them at their stadium, August last year. No, wait, that doesn't make sense. What the fuck? How does that make sense? August 2022. We must have played them more recently. 11v11s. They've lost me already there, mate. I'm livid. They've just mugged me off, like, here and there. So I'm not going to go into any more of that. West Ham are aiming to secure their third Premier League double over Tottenham, having done so in 98-99 and 2013-14. That's whiffy, isn't it? I don't want that.
Can't have that. We can't be having that, can we?
No, can't be having that. Here's some match facts about West Ham. West Ham have let in at least one goal in each of their last 10 Premier League games, conceding 24 in total. That's pretty appalling.
Yeah.
The 54 league goals they have conceded in the current campaign is only one fewer than they did in the whole of last season. What's going on?
They're quite weird, aren't they? Quite a weird team. And yet, yeah, where are they in the league? Like eighth or something? They're quite
seventh.
Yeah.
They're only...
It's terrible, isn't it?
I mean, I say only, they're 12 points off us, and we've got a game in hand on them as well, so shite. The 54 league goals they've conceded in the current campaign, I've done that one. They have shipped 1.8 goals per game. Only in 2010-11, when they conceded 1.84 per match, have they fared worse in a Premier League season. Ooh. Dear, oh dear. Again, this is more of these stats. They have let in 19 goals in 8 Premier League London derbies this season, including a 5-0 loss to Fulham and a 6-0 defeat by Arsenal, conceding 2.4 goals per game. Only Fulham in 2018-19 have recorded a higher figure in a Premier League campaign. Do you know what? How nice, and I know it doesn't work this way for Spurs, but just considering what they are like and how they are with us, how nice would it be to go to their ground and just do them like 5 or 6 nil? I know it's kind of inconsequential for us this season, really. And maybe I'd like to save that result for, say, next year when we play them at a similar time and we're trying to win the league. But I still would love to batter them.
That would feed into Ange's whole thing about we look up, not down, right? Just slap someone like West Ham away and look up the league rather than worrying about what lesser teams are going to do when we come up against them.
I've got to say, it's not anywhere close to being on par with, for me anyway, Arsenal and Chelsea. But I would say, and it's pretty basic kind of, you know, there's a basic level of comprehension required to know why this is the case. But the better they get, the more I do want to beat them nowadays. They used to be just a bit of an irrelevance, probably like we were to Arsenal back in the day, to be honest. Yeah. But now when our games come up against West Ham, there is a bit more to it. There is a bit more of like, fuck you lot. Like, I really want to have them, you know?
Whereas before, that ideas above the station thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Are we the Tories? Is that in this equation?
We're their Tories, which is ironic.
Ah, dear. James, oh God, I forgot about that fucking golf paedophile. James Ward-Prowse has scored, or not actually, people can get prosecuted for saying that. I'm just saying that as a casual internet parlance, all right? I'm not actually insinuating that James Ward-Prowse is, in fact, a paedophile. Just want a legal disclaimer. James Ward-Prowse has scored or assisted in each of his last six games against Tottenham, scoring four and assisting three. His 10 goal involvements overall against Spurs, six goals, four assists, is his most against one opponent in the top flight. He always does it against us, doesn't he?
Yeah. Why? That's probably just why they signed him.
it wouldn't come as a massive surprise, would it, at all? Mikel Antonio is looking to score in three consecutive league games for the first time since August 2021. He has scored a career-best six Premier League goals against Tottenham. It's fucking tin pot club, man. Honestly.
Seriously,
Jared Bowen. Yeah. They just are, aren't they? Right. Jared Bowen has scored 15 Premier League goals this term, only one shy of the Hammers club record set by Paladin. I mean, that, come on. Come on. Right. That is tin pot. That is tin pot. Their Premier League record is 16 goals in a Premier League season.
Oh, what a club. What a club.
That's about it, isn't it? I like you. You're just lost for words by that one, Phil.
Yeah,
lost,
sorry. All of these stats are so pathetic, aren't they?
They are.
Antonio, three games in a row. How dare he's on podcast as well. How dare he? Giving exactly. It to other people. That's mad.
Tottenham Hotspur have earned 22 points from losing positions this season, which is three short of a club record in the Premier League. Second only to Liverpool. There we go.
Never give up.
Yeah.
Until we do give up.
They have lost three of their last five London derbies. As many defeats in their previous 19 such matches. 1-10 drawn 6. That's a bit annoying. Son Heung-min has scored at least 15 goals in three of the last four seasons. 23 in 21-22 and 17 in 2021. Five of Son's 15 goals this season have been the winner. That's interesting. That's an interesting fact, I think, personally. Spurs have benefited from a joint high four own goals in this season's top flight. See, people will say, I can remember probably at least two of the own goals that have gone in for us this season. And they've both been like the one this weekend where we've all but made the goal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. If you flash balls across the front of the goal, defenders always say it's the hardest thing to defend because you've got to get something on it and it's coming so quickly at you. I mean, Kabore's one was an excellent finish. I mean, Werner could dream of finishes like that. But still, and then he did actually clear one afterwards, didn't he? So, that's not a surprising stat. That's just how we play. We fire balls into that area, which are very hard to defend, especially when you've got a player on your back.
Brennan Johnson has been involved in six league goals as a substitute this season. Two goals, four assists. The most of any top flight player. I mean, good. Good on him. As we said, super sub Brennan. Does that make you almost want to keep him as a super sub, mate, as opposed to starting him?
As I said, like talking about the Kulusevski thing, I think it works better bringing him off the bench. In terms of how the game's panning out, you want pace off the bench, and if it's working for him and he's having an impact, then why change it, right? I don't think it's by accident.
How are you feeling about this one, mate? Basically, with all the stats and all that bollocks in mind.
Yeah, I mean, this feels a bit like this has got Brighton away and Fulham away feel to it, isn't it? I don't know if it's just because it's like it feels like a fixture that's sort of popped up out of nowhere, given it's on a Tuesday night, given it's away, given it's a, in theory, winnable game. I don't, yeah. like you said, though, we could just go there and win 3-0 and it'd be really sort of like run of the mill. I mean, we don't tend to do that sort of thing, but I just feel like, you know, what I said earlier about is it good or bad that we're playing them after Newcastle? I think it gives them an opportunity to put things right, you know, especially with their fans, especially since it's against us who they hate. I'm not feeling particularly good about it. I just feel like, again, we've been really sort of passive. We'll need to sort of really sort of click into gear, won't we, in terms of being up for a match and being on it from the first minute and really sort of controlling the game, which I sort of hoped we'd do against Luton, but did the opposite. Hard one to call from my point of view.
Are you starting Bissouma, or would you change up the midfield?
I think I'd start him, and as mad as that is, because I don't think he's been very good. I think he's the sort of the most able at the moment. Bentancur hasn't really filled me with a hell of a lot of confidence. Højbjerg, we know what he's like starting a game. It just seems to kind of wreck our whole starting position. And I think that he's sort of better off the bench when we need to chase a game or whatever. I'll probably keep it as is, to be honest. Maybe with Son on the left, I don't know. Do you suddenly take Son out of the striking position, given he keeps scoring goals?
I don't think you can, because I think we sort of need Werner's pace, don't we, to stretch West Ham. If we're not starting Johnson, if Kulusevski's going to start out on the right, then it's got to be. I don't think we can sacrifice both of them, Werner and Johnson. Maybe he'll start Johnson and put Sonny on the left, but we need at least one of them. I would actually quite like to see both of them, to be honest, just kind of go in at West Ham. That would, to me, would be a real statement. But, you know, defer to the manager. I hate saying it on here, mate, but I do think we're going to lose this, annoyingly.
Yeah, she's got that feeling, isn't it? I can't really put my
Yeah, like you it. Said, sort of chastening defeat, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah, it just feels like it's the third of those three. As I said, Brighton, Fulham, where we just don't turn up, where we just look awful.
Like a 3-0 sort of job, eh?
Yeah, or a 3-0 and we actually score one in the 83rd minute or something.
Yeah, Sonny gets one.
You know, one of those.
Sonny gets one after being racially abused for most of the game, probably. This is often the case with West Ham, isn't it? That's jolly. I'll be looking forward to that one, mate. That's good fun, eh? At least we get to watch Arsenal lose to Luton on Wednesday. Come on.
Fingers crossed.
That is it. To the end of the city, well, as a Freudian slip. To the end of the season, I am basically a City and a Liverpool fan, really. Anyway, I'm wearing a City and Liverpool half and half scarf to the end of the year. Tottenham schmot them.
Tottenham who?
Until we play them in the North London Derby, which the date for that still hasn't been set, has it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it keeps sort of moving around, or its potential to move around depending on Champions League, right? Depending on what they do. I mean, where is it at the moment?
I can't remember.
It's at the moment, 28th of April on the Sunday, but I think that moves forward, doesn't it? If something in the Champions League happens, I don't know.
Is it if they get through in the Champions? So they got Bayern on the 9th of April.
And then is it Villa, Real Madrid? Oh, sorry.
Villa on the 14th, Bayern on the 17th. So I really don't know. But yeah, so we're penciled in for the 28th, aren't we, right now?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it. I don't know. I don't care. Until that time, we'll wait and see, won't we? But thank you, Phil. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please leave ratings, leave reviews, all that sort of thing. Share the pod wherever. Like and subscribe. And sign up for Patreon, patreon.com/RTRpod. Okay, bye.